Turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 127. Psalm 127. I want to preach a message this morning to parents, not just to moms, but to parents, and using Mother's Day as an excuse to do that. I want to challenge you this morning. What I'm going to preach this morning is going to be really different than what you're going to hear on The View or Morning Joe or any of those other shows. The Oprah Winfrey show is not on anymore, but it'd be different than what you would hear on that show. I want to preach a message this morning to challenge you to raise your children to serve God. I want to challenge you as a parent, whether you're a mother, you're a father, maybe you're not yet, but someday you may be. I want to challenge you to raise your children to serve God. There's a lot of things to raise our kids for. You could make a decision as a parent, and if you've got a young child, you could make a decision that you're going to raise your child to be a professional sports player. And you could spend every Saturday and Sunday and every day in between going to practices and going to games and hoping that you and training and teaching your child to become the best soccer player or football player or basketball player or whatever sport it is, and spend all the time you can so that they can get a scholarship and they can go to college and maybe one day they can be a professional sports player. You could do that, or you could raise your children to serve God. You could raise your children to make a lot of money, and they could do that. Your children have some amazing potential because they're your kids, right? I mean, you look at your kid and you're like, wow, this one is special because it's mine. Kind of resembles me, looks like me a little bit. I like it more than the other ones. That's something about that. You could raise your kids to become famous, and they could become the next American Idol or something like that and make it big in Hollywood. Or you could raise your children to serve God. There's so many things you could do. Remember, this is graduation week, so this book comes out on graduation week, and it's a great graduation present, except it doesn't really teach what the Bible teaches. Oh, the places you'll go. And you can go some great places, but I want to challenge you this morning to raise your children to serve God. Whether you're a mom or you're a dad, or maybe you have influence over some child, maybe a grandma or a grandpa, aunt or an uncle, I want to challenge you this morning. I want to communicate this clearly. I want to do my best to do that. I struggled in putting this message together so that it would be coherent. So if I preach a message that's totally incoherent, that's where we're at this morning. I'm going to do my very best to help you to not really teach you how this morning. This morning is going to be more of the motivation, just the, you can do this, and here's a reason to do it. Raise your children to serve God. Some of you, you're high schoolers. Maybe you're junior hires. You don't have children. You are at the point still where you're making that transition out of childhood, and you're looking at what you're going to do with your life. Let me change the title up here just a little bit for you. I'm still preaching this to parents, but the title for you might be something like, I challenge you to serve God with your life. Something like that. I didn't write that down, but I want to challenge you this morning to live your life for God. Psalm chapter 127, look at verse, you know what, we'll just read the whole chapter. 3-5 is what we're going to use for our message this morning. It's only 5 verses long, but there's so much good in this. Psalm chapter 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early. Amen. That's my life verse. To sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. Here's another one. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Now look at this, verse number 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Father, I pray that you would use your word and this message this morning to help parents to have a desire to raise their children for you, to serve you, to live for you, to obey you. to minister to you and to others. Lord, I pray that you'd use this message to help young people here this morning to make a decision that they want to serve you with their life, to give everything that they have to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, you need to raise your children to serve God, and I'm just going to do my best to help you understand why this morning. I'm going to give you some becauses right here at the beginning. Why should I raise my children to serve God? Well, because the time is short. We don't know how much time we have left. We know the rapture is an imminent event. It could happen at any time. I do believe the Lord is coming soon. There's a lot of events happening, going on. You may not agree with all the details of this, but this month is the 70th anniversary of the nation of Israel. The Bible does say, this generation shall not pass. All these things come to pass. Talking about there's the parable of the fig tree. The time is short. But whether the time is short because of the rapture or the time is short that we have to live on this earth, either way, the time is short. We don't have a long time to make an influence on this earth. We don't have a long time to leave our footprint here. We've just got a short time. Why raise our children to serve God? Because our nation's going the wrong direction. We really need a generation who will serve God. I looked at some statistics and I didn't write them down, so I'll do my best to give them to you at least close to what I remember seeing, just some different statistics. 20% of people in our country or less go to church every week. The average right now is about 17%, almost 18% of Americans go to church. That means they went 3 or 4 times in the last 8 weeks. That doesn't mean Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night people, but that just means going sometime. And when I say 18%, that means 18% of every group that would consider themselves Christian. That's Christian, that's Catholic, that's Charismatic, that's Protestant, that's Baptist, that's everything. Only 18% of our country still goes to church. You know, our nation is going the wrong direction, and we need a generation to rise up that can reach our nation, that can turn our country back to God. So we need to raise our children to serve God. Why raise our children to serve God? Because the only things that matter are eternal. We could raise our kids to make a lot of money. We could raise them to be doctors, lawyers, plumbers, all those things that make lots of money. But, did I say lawyers? Lawyers, all right, make lots of money. But the only things that really matter are eternal things. Why raise our children to serve God? Because there are fewer Christians in America today than there were a generation ago. Because there's more people in the world today than there have ever been. Do you see what's happening? There's less Christians in America today than there's ever been. And there's more people in the world today than there's ever been. We need a generation that will rise up to live for God. We need parents who will raise them to serve God. Why raise your children to serve God? Well, this is very simple, but because heaven and hell are real. They are real places. And people will spend eternity at one or the other. We need to raise our children to serve God. We need to raise our children to serve God because, parents, you can have the greatest influence over your children than anyone else on the planet. You have a great influence, and you can raise your children to serve God. You know, there are people who are trying to turn your children away from you. Teachers, stars, movie stars, Hollywood stars, influences, mentors. They would love scientists and teachers. For example, Bill Nye, the science guy, said that Christians, we shouldn't be the ones raising our children. It should be the schools who will raise our children because we're teaching them false doctrine. We're teaching them false things because we're teaching them the fiction of the Bible when really teachers should be the ones who are teaching them the truth of science. And there are people who want to separate you, turn your children against you. I want to challenge you this morning to raise your children to serve God. Proverbs 22:6, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. That's the command to us. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Ephesians 6:4, the Bible says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want to challenge you this morning to raise your children to serve God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, God is giving the law to his people, and he says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Let me just stop there for a moment. Are we teaching the Bible diligently to our children? Does the average Christian in America teach the Bible diligently to their child? Does the average church member in New Heights Baptist Church teach the Bible diligently to their child? God said, teach them diligently unto thy children. Those are the commandments of God. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. It's okay to talk about the Bible when you're at home sitting down. And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Are we teaching the Bible diligently to our children? Are we raising our children to serve God? Our verse this morning, Psalms chapter 127, verse number 3, the Bible says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Let me give you a statement that may shock you, but I want to give it to you because it's absolutely true. God didn't give your kids to you for you. Let me say that again, because this is something that will completely change the way that you will approach being a parent. God didn't give your kids to you for you. They belong to Him, just like you belong to Him. I'm going to read that verse again. Lo, children are an heritage of who? The Lord. I looked up the word heritage. It means an inheritance. Children are an inheritance or a heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is, now whose reward is it? His reward. Our children don't belong to us. Our children belong to God. Now, God has given them to us, and He expects us to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the reason for that is to raise them for Him. You know this story, and as a Mother's Day message, it almost wouldn't be fitting not to include the story of Hannah in this message. Do you remember Hannah? Hannah couldn't have a son. She couldn't have children. She went down to the temple, and she went down, and this particular year, she prayed for a son, and told God that if God would give her a son, she would give her son back to Him. In fact, she said, I will lend my son back to God. I will, God, if you will give me a son, he will be yours to use however you want to use. I want to give you my son. So she prayed for a son, and then God gave her a baby. She carried her unborn baby. She gave birth to her baby boy. She raised her son for a couple years, and then she gave her son back to God. And she went to the temple, and here's what she said. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition when I asked of Him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. What a statement. I prayed for a child, and I told God, God, if you will give me a child, I'll give the child back to you to serve you however it is that you would choose. And she took her child back. Now, as parents, we struggle with that story. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'll raise your hand for me and maybe for you. I struggle with that story. She weaned her child. So her child's a toddler, just a young child. And she took her child back and she gave her child back. She took her child to the temple and left her child there at the temple for God. We struggle with that. Anybody else, you struggle with that story? I'm thinking, wait a minute. I read a little bit more about that. That priest Eli wasn't really a very good father. He's an older man. His sons are older, and they're not a very good influence. Hannah, what are you thinking, taking your son and giving your son back to God? But the thing is, God knew exactly what was happening, and God had a plan, and God worked it all out. We struggle with that story, though. I think it's probably because Samuel was so young when Hannah dropped him off at the temple. Okay, so if she would have left her 20-year-old son at the temple to serve God, it might be easier for us to accept. I mean, picture it this way. Hannah raises her son. He's 2 years old. And instead of going to the temple then, she raises him and he grows up in this home. And eventually, he grows up and he's 18, 19. He's 20 years old. And then she takes him and says, here's my son Samuel to serve at the temple. It wouldn't be quite as hard for us to deal with that because she's had the childhood with him and she's helped him to grow up and now she's kind of launching him out on his own. Maybe, though, she realized that if she didn't give her son to God when he was a baby, he wouldn't serve God as an adult. I don't know. We don't know what would have happened. But there's a powerful lesson here. You can't wait till your kids grow up to give them to God. Parents, this is big. You can't wait till they grow up to give them to God. So Hannah took her two-year-old, three-year-old baby son, and she took her son to the temple and said, God, you gave me this son that I prayed for. I'm giving him back to you. And we say, well, wait a minute. Wait till he's older. Wait till he's a teenager. Wait till he's 18. Wait till he's out of the house. Wait till he graduates from college. You can keep the wait twos up until you go. Wait till he gets a career. Wait till he retires from a career. Wherever you want to go in this, at some point you've got to say, I'm just going to give him to God. You can't wait till they're adults to give them to God. I want to challenge you, parents. Give your children to God now. Give your children to God whenever they are young. Don't fall for the trap of raising your kids for yourself. Okay, I told you this was going to be different than what you might hear on TV. This is countercultural, but this is biblical. Let's don't raise our kids for ourselves. The Bible says they're an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Don't fall for the trap of raising your kids for yourself. I'm going to give you an example from the Bible, so turn to Luke chapter 12, if you would. Now, Jesus gave us a parable, and in this parable, He's talking about increase. He's talking about money. He's talking about crops. Has anybody ever grown a crop? All right. I'm not talking like the hairdo crop. All right. I have grown some things. I grew tomatoes. We have some tomato plants in our house right now. They're not doing super well. Hopefully, they kind of turn the corner and get better. I left them out in the hot sun next to a hot wall, and they kind of cooked. So hopefully, they do okay. I think they will. We've grown zucchinis before. It happens to be Julia's favorite vegetable now because when she was a baby, we had tons of them, and we grinded them up in the blender, and we froze them, and we fed them to her constantly. So we've grown those. But I've never grown like a huge crop, like where I would need a barn to hold everything, like corn or wheat or anything like that. But you've got that in this story, Luke chapter 12, verse number 15. And Jesus is talking to the people about being covetous. That means wanting something that doesn't belong to you. And He's talking about how that's a wrong thing. Luke 12, 15, and He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. But I want to apply this parable to another resource that God has given us, another gift that God has given us, and that is our children. So look at verse 16, and He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, I love the way he speaks to his soul. Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, now remember, this is a parable, it's a story to help us understand the truth. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. So we're talking about treasure, and if we're talking about money, we would say, okay, so it's not a good idea just to hoard all this money for myself, for me, because I don't know how long I'm going to live. I don't know. It may be tonight where God says, thy soul, that this night thy soul shall be required of thee. So I shouldn't live for myself and gather lots of money like Scrooge. I picture the Scrooge McDuck, you know, that character that's swimming his coins. You kids, you know who I'm talking about, Scrooge? Okay, so I don't want to be like that. But then with stuff, I don't want to do that with stuff either. I don't want to, in this case, he had fruits and vegetables and grains, and he grew these things, and he had a bumper crop that year. And he said, I've got so much stuff. God has blessed me in such a great way. And he's blessed me so much, I'm going to keep it all for myself. And he built bigger barns. He tore down his little barns, and he built bigger barns. And he kept it all for himself. But he didn't know how long he was going to live. And in this case, God says that tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. Then he asks him this question. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? You know, your greatest treasure on this earth may just be your children. The Bible says your children are the heritage of the Lord. They're God's inheritance. They're God's reward. If you selfishly keep God's heritage for yourself, you'll find yourself like the farmer in the parable. That God blessed so greatly that he decided to build bigger barns so that he could keep it all for himself. But God didn't give you your children so you could keep them for yourself. That's not why he gave you your children. God didn't give you your children for that reason. You ought to be able to be proud of your children, but that's not why God gave them to you. So don't push your children into a career so that you can be proud of them. Now, it's okay to be proud of your children in whatever career they choose, but here, it's about motives here. Don't push your kids into a career so that mom and dad can be proud of them. That's not why God gave us children. It's good to be proud of them, but that's not why. I wonder what John the Baptist's parents thought when he started preaching in the wilderness. Here's John the Baptist. Let me introduce to you John the Baptist. And he comes out wearing this camel skin girdle. I can't even picture it. And he's munching on locusts, dipping them in honey, right? Wild honey. And the mom has got to be, this is so embarrassing. I don't know what she was thinking. Maybe it was just normal in those days and everybody wore. I don't think so, because Jesus, the Bible specifically calls out that this is what he was wearing. So I just want, you know how we say it? Your son, whenever our kids do something to embarrass us, we say, your son, your daughter. Whenever it's something good, it's like, my son, my daughter did great. But whenever they embarrass us, your son, your. I just wonder what John the Baptist's parents thought. The forerunner of the Messiah. And he's wearing camel skin girdle. Well, what is he thinking? You know, it's not about whether he embarrasses me or makes me proud. It's about whether he serves God. I want to challenge you, parents. Raise your children for God. Jesus said there was no greater man born into this world than John the Baptist. So it's a mistake to push your children into a direction so for the reason of being proud of their career. You know, I want my kids to be a doctor so I can be proud of them. Well, if that's what God wants them to do, great, but that's not the right reason. I want my kids to serve God so that I can be proud of them. That's still the wrong reason. I want them to serve God because it's right. It's a mistake to push your children into a high-paying career so that they won't have it hard like you did. I mean, this is something parents say all the time. I don't want my kids to have the hardships I had, so I'm gonna push them into a career that pays a lot. Well, if they end up in a career that pays a lot because God wants them there, they're following God's call that direction, and they go where God wants them to go, and it's a high-paying career, that's a wonderful thing. But let's not push them there for ourselves. Let's not push them there for ourselves. Here's a classic example. Let's don't take our kids to peewee football and take them to junior high football and high school football and then get them into college football so that they can become a professional football player one day and we can retire because they're going to pay for our house. That's the ultimate selfish reason for raising a kid. Why should I raise my children? I should raise them to serve God. God asked him this question, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" When you're in heaven, what will your children be living for? If they follow your example, what will be the main purpose of their lives? This is interesting, but Hebrews chapter 11, I told you it's a little disjointed this morning, but we're in Hebrews chapter 11 now. Right? Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that the generations that come after us add to our eternal reward. What will my kids be doing after I'm in heaven with God? I'm not on this earth anymore. Why will they be living? Will they be living for me still, or will they be living for God? If I raise them to live for me, I'm taking them the wrong direction. They're the heritage of the Lord. Let me just read this to you from Hebrews. Hebrews 11, 39. "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." These are people that passed away already. "God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." Whatever your children do, the best way I can explain this, whatever they do to serve God is going to be part of the reward that you receive in heaven. That's just the best way I can explain that. Back in Psalm chapter 127, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." But now in verse 4, Psalm 127, verse 4, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." How many of you have ever been bow hunting? Has anybody ever been bow hunting? Hillary, have you been bow hunting? I would love to. I have never done it, but I would love to go bow hunting. I know Brother Reed has. He had to step out because he just can't sit down because he's back right now. I know he's been bow hunting before. I did learn how to shoot a bow and arrow a little bit whenever I was a kid, but I never got a chance to go bow hunting. Can you imagine a bow hunter going out bow hunting and he sees the perfect, like the great white elk or something? And it's like, this is the one I've been looking for all my life. And he reaches back behind him and there's no arrows. He's there. He's got an opportunity to do something great, but there's no arrows. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. A soldier without ammunition has so much less potential than a soldier with ammunition. An archer with arrows can accomplish so much more than an archer without arrows. This is just basic, right? You're already ahead of me. Did you realize you can accomplish so much more with your life if you live for God and raise your children to live for God? Just stop for a minute. What else matters? What else really matters? If you get to the end of your life and you've spent time and you've made a lot of money and you've accomplished a lot of things and you bought a lot of stuff and you get to the end of your life and all of that is just going to be gone and now you're looking towards eternity and the only thing that is left are those eternal things. What really matters? What really matters is what I did for God. And I want to challenge you this morning. The greatest thing you can do with your life is live for God. And then parents, raise your children to live for God. Teach your kids to give God first choice. Raise your kids to give their best to God. Help your kids to prepare to serve God with their lives. I'm going to give you a statement that you're going to think is just crazy off the wall, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Every child raised in a Christian home should plan to spend their lives serving God. Listen to this. Every child that's raised in a Christian home ought to spend their lives serving God. That's just the way it ought to be. In whatever direction God calls that child to go, whatever direction He wants them to serve, they should be serving Him. I'm going to give you another statement that's going to blow your mind here, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. I want to challenge you this morning to prepare your kids to serve God in full-time ministry unless God calls them to do something else. Okay, I knew I was going to blow your mind. All right, here's what it is. It's giving God first choice. If I could raise my kids to say, God, I will give You first choice. And I will prepare so that if You call me to serve You, I will serve You any way that You want me to serve You. And I will prepare for that. And if God calls them any direction in life, they will be prepared. Okay, you're looking at me like a donkey looking at a new gate. I get that. I get that. We usually think of it the other way. Isn't this the way we think of ministry? Well, if you can't do anything else with your life, you might as well, you know, serve the Lord. If you can't do anything else, you can become a missionary. Everybody takes missionaries, right? If you can't become anything else, you can serve God. You know, a lot of times we'll say this. I had so many family members telling me this. I was called to preach when I was 10 years old, and I was going to go off to Bible college. I was going to get ready to become a preacher. I know not everybody is called to preach. I understand that. But this is just for me. And I had so many family members telling me, well, here's what you should do. You should go to college first. Get a degree first, get a career first, and follow that career so that you'll have something to fall back on. But that's not what God called me to do. God called me to preach. God called me to serve Him full time. And so for me to say, okay, I'm going to get a career to fall back on would be me say, okay, God, when You fail, I'm going to come to the rescue. We think of it backwards. You know, the will of God is found at the intersection of preparation an opportunity. I've heard it said so many different ways, but I love the statement. When preparation and opportunity cross, can you picture two roads? And this one's named preparation. This Walgreens probably right here at the corner of Healthy and Happy, right here. All right. So at the corner of preparation and opportunity, you got two roads, and they're going to cross somewhere. An opportunity is going to come along. That's when God brings this opportunity to a person. This opportunity will come along at some point in their life. But preparation has to be on our side. Preparation is me being ready to say yes to that opportunity, whatever that is. And one of these days, preparation and opportunity are going to meet, and we can call that intersection the will of God. Where is it where that's going to happen? I don't know. But I guarantee you, if you're prepared, whenever the opportunity comes, you will just find yourself walking into the will of God if you've got a willing heart. But what happens when opportunity comes and preparation didn't happen? The opportunity comes by and you miss it. You know, opportunity only knocks once. Have you ever heard of that? I don't know about that statement. I don't know if it's true or not. But I know that you can miss your opportunity to serve God if you don't prepare. Parents, we've got a large responsibility. we need to prepare our children to serve God. Well, maybe it's not serving God full time in every single case, but every person ought to be a servant of God. Every Christian ought to be faithful to church, right? You're here this morning like that. Every Christian ought to be a soul winner. That means telling somebody else about Jesus. That's the Great Commission. The last words of Jesus in five different places was telling other people how to be saved. Every Christian ought to do that. Every one of us ought to be serving somewhere. We all ought to be serving, maybe teaching a class or maybe helping on a bus route, maybe a substitute teacher. Every one of us needs to serve somewhere. I've said this so many times, it's almost not even funny anymore. But we can all serve somewhere. Some of you can just serve as bad examples, right? We can all serve somehow, but we all ought to be serving God. Every one of us. And we ought to be training our kids and preparing our kids so that they can serve God. I know the questions. But Pastor, but if every kid grows up to be a preacher, then who's going to be the plumbers and teachers and doctors and soldiers, right? I mean, that's an obvious, that's a good question. If everybody's in the ministry, then who's going to tithe and pay the bills at the church? Another good question. But listen to this, less than 20% of Americans even go to church. If every teen boy became a preacher or a youth pastor or a missionary, and every teen girl married a preacher, became a missionary, a Christian school teacher, or a stay-at-home mom, there would be plenty of people left to take care of the other things. We don't need to worry about who's going to be the plumbers and doctors. There's going to be plenty of people for that. There's very few people surrendering to serve the Lord. Okay, so if 20% of people go to church in America, and that includes all the Catholics, which is, I think that's the largest religion in the world. Maybe Muslims is the largest religion in the world. But Catholics, Lutherans, Presbyterians, Methodists, every denomination, and some weird ones even, 20%, right? How many of those are sharing the gospel? How many of those are teaching people how to really be saved? So this percentage of people that know how to be saved, that know how to tell somebody else how to be saved, is a very small percentage. We desperately need young people who will surrender to serve God and say, God, I will serve you any way you want me to go. I will be a preacher if you call me to preach. I'll be a missionary if you call me to go. God, here's what it is. I'm writing you a blank check. Does anybody remember what those are? Checks, okay? It's like when you write to promise somebody you're going to pay them money. All right, here's a blank check. I'm signing it, and I'm leaving the top open, and God, whatever you want to do with my life, I will do. You just fill it out. Have you ever written a blank check and given it to somebody and said, just fill it out for the amount you want? That wouldn't be very smart, would it? You sign the check and say, here, just whatever money you want me to pay you, just fill it. People do it to the church sometimes. They'll leave it blank and sign it and say, here you go. And usually they'll fill out the amount, but they don't put in who it's for. So we put in, you know, the name of the church. That'd be a scary thing. To say, here's my check, I'm signing it, you just cash it for whatever you want. But that's exactly what I'm telling you that we need to raise our kids to do. I'm challenging you this morning to raise our kids to say, God, my life is yours to control. Whatever it is, I give you my heart and my soul. Would you just use me however you want to use me? Jesus said, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I want to challenge you to train your kids, prepare your kids to serve the Lord. Back in Psalms 127, verse number 5, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. This is interesting. They shall not be ashamed. Let's look at that phrase for just a moment. You know, we're talking about having a car wash here. I told you disjointed, right? We are all over the place this morning. We're going to have a car wash on Saturday. You know, this car wash has been a huge blessing for my family. We're talking about they shall not be ashamed, okay, just so you know where we're going. This has been a huge blessing for my family. So we've got this car wash. We've got all kinds of things going on for our teens. We have a lot of activities. We have events. And we don't have room in our budget, personally, to pay for our kids to do these activities. Go to camp. Go to youth conference. Go to youth conference and go to another youth conference. We don't have money to do that, but we want to do the very best we can to provide every opportunity for our teens to surrender to God and serve God. So we don't have the budget in our family, so we do a fundraiser at church, and most parents are in the same situation. So we have a fundraiser to help them. So there's a great blessing in this car wash, but you know what the biggest blessing has been? Our kids are not ashamed. They've been going to businesses and basically selling advertising in return for sponsorships. Our kids are learning how to talk to adults. This has been a really neat thing to see kids as they're young and walk into a business and ask for the owner or the manager and the manager to come out and for a teenager to be able to look a business owner in the eye and tell them, "Hi, my name is," and they say, state your name, right? "Hi, my name is, and I'm a teenager at the youth group at New Heights Baptist Church. And here's what we're doing, and we're raising money to go to camp. Would you be interested in sponsoring me?" Whenever I was 16, 17 years old, I'd have had a very difficult time looking at an adult in the eye and carrying on any kind of a conversation. Have you ever noticed how kids just really have trouble with that? Because adults are intimidating. But you get an adult who's a business owner, and here's what I'm realizing. This kind of a byproduct of this whole thing, the kids, they're learning not to be ashamed. To be able to go talk to somebody who's intimidating and to be able to tell them what they're doing and be able to call them on the phone and introduce themselves and, "May I speak to your manager," and not be ashamed. Now, I know that's not exactly what this is talking about here, but are you teaching your kids not to be ashamed? Do they know the Bible well enough to defend what they believe? Maybe not everything they believe, they're just kids, but some of it. Are you having conversations about issues that the Bible addresses in your home? I want to help you here just for a moment. You ought to be. Parents, we ought to be talking about this. That verse in Deuteronomy says we should be speaking of these things. When we walk by the way, when we sit in our house, when we rise up, when we lie down, we should be speaking about these things. Are you having conversations about what the Bible says about things like evolution? Can you have an intelligent, can your kids carry an intelligent conversation? Now, if they're two or three, okay, I'm not talking about them exactly, all right? But can your kids carry on an intelligent conversation about what the Bible says about evolution versus what other people say? They don't have to know everything about what the world says, but they should be able to know in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. It was God, and God did it in the beginning, and it took 6 days to do. Are you having conversations about eternity? That's a big subject. There's a lot to talk about when you start talking about eternity. You start talking about salvation. You start talking about assurance of salvation. How about obeying authority? Here's an opportunity. Parents, you have an opportunity to teach your children what the Bible says about obeying authority. Or how about differences between men and women? This is a topic that we need to talk about. And I'm not going to get all weird on you or anything, so don't worry about that. But when our culture doesn't know which person ought to go into which bathroom, we need to talk about some of these things. And look what the Bible says. God created male and female. He created he, them. They're different. Here's opportunities for us to have this conversation and help our kids to be not ashamed. You know what's going to happen when they get around a group of people? They go to college, get in the dorms, get in university. I just suggest you don't send your kids to a state university, especially don't let them live in the dorms. There's all kinds of bad that could happen there. We'll talk about that later if you want to. But they get around people, and people are going to start talking to them. You get your kids around a group of friends or people at school or in the soccer team, and their parents are atheists. Are your kids just going to be ashamed because they got no clue how to defend what they believe? Let me just say, let's raise our kids and teach them the truth so that they're not ashamed. There's some issues that the Bible addresses. Entertainment, we can talk about that. The Middle East, whoa, this is huge. There's so much that you could talk about with your kids. Just going on in the news right now, Iran shooting missiles at Israel out of Syria. Whoa, this is end time stuff. And you realize, and Israel shooting these missiles back and all these things going on. The 70th anniversary, we already mentioned that, of Israel of being a state. All these things. You can have these conversations about real world things and bring it back to the Bible. Can your kids have an intelligent conversation about these things? Can you have an intelligent conversation about these things? Some of these areas I can't. I need to study. But I want to challenge you to. I want to challenge you to, as a parent, to get into the Word of God and study so you can know how to raise your kids. I get worried when I see parents. They spend an incredible amount of time playing games on their computers, on their game consoles, on their phones. Let me challenge you, turn the electronics off and talk with your kids. Parents, their kids are playing in the playland and they're just glued to their phone. Or in their living room, they're glued to their phone. You know, there's some opportunities. There's opportunities to raise your kids to serve God, but we're missing them because we're plugged into our electronics. Read a book with your kids. Go to the park with your kids. Build a close relationship with your kids so that you can teach them how to live, how to survive in a world that wants to destroy them. Just yesterday, I sat down in my lazy boy chair that Jen got me some time back, and I sat down and I turned on I love the Discovery animals and I love the nature shows. I love sitting down and learning something. Now, you can't listen to all that they say because they're going to say that it evolved over millions of years or whatever, but I like to see them and I can compare it to what God says. Humpback whales. They have the longest migration of any animal in the world, all the way north to south. But there's this one place near Australia, we just watched it yesterday, where the humpback whale moms, they will take their calves. And it's a safe place for them, and they'll spend a long time with their calves swimming in this one place. It looks like they're playing. Looks like the mom and the whale calf are playing. But what they're doing is they're teaching them. They're teaching them how to swim, how to hunt, how to eat, how to slap the water with their fins, all that. They're teaching them. And as I was thinking about it, and I was getting ready for this, the last night I was thinking, wow, I wonder if humpback whales spend more time training their kids than we do as parents training ours. Convicted me. Are you teaching your kids not to be ashamed? And in the very end, verse 27, chapter 1, 27, verse 5, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. What about that phrase? They shall speak with the enemies in the gate. In the old days, the enemy would attack the city. If the city had good walls, the enemy could only surround the city and wait for the city to surrender. There'd be the good guys in the city. There'd be a big wall. There'd be the bad guys outside the city. The bad guys outside the city would surround the city. And then they would send specially trained people to go near the gates and begin yelling things at the people on the inside. They're yelling things like, well, insults, right? They would fabricate lies. They try to convince the citizens of the city that their leaders were abusing them or treating them wrong. The enemy would tell the people inside the wall that if they surrendered, that they'd be treated better than they'd ever been treated. And they would tell them lies, and they would yell through the gates, and they would yell over the walls and try to convince the people inside to surrender. The Bible says here, talking about children, they shall not be ashamed. They shall speak with the enemies in the gate. You're raising a generation that's going to face the enemy. Your children will eventually be the ones making laws and teaching Sunday school, voting for presidents and supporting missionaries, starting churches and defending your freedom. Your children will be the ones in the gates. The enemy will be yelling at them. The enemy will be trying to convince them to give in, to give up, to quit. Your children will be defending you, defending what you believe, defending your freedoms. Today you have the freedom to come to church. You can carry a Bible. You can sing songs about Jesus Christ. Today you have the freedom to go out and publicly tell people how to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Today you have the freedom to educate your kids at your own home or in a Christian school. You can teach them about God, and you can teach them about creation. You can teach them how to be saved. You can teach them that it's more important to live for God than to live for themselves. But tomorrow, your children will be the ones speaking to the enemies in the gates. Your children will be the ones the enemy's trying to convince that they've been lied to. Your children will be the target of moral attacks. Your children will be the ones standing between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And here's the last question, and we're done. Are you preparing your kids to face the enemy? Are you preparing them for it? You know how bad it is. You try to keep the wickedness from your kids so they don't have to deal with that right now. But one day they're going to be there. They're going to be by the gate. And the enemy's going to be yelling in, saying, your parents raised you wrong. Your parents told you lies. If you just listen to science, you'd know the truth. The Bible's false. All these lies. And our children will be the ones hearing this. And our children will be the ones speaking to the enemies in the gates. And if you raise your children to serve God, the enemy yelling through the gates isn't going to destroy their faith. They say that 70% of our kids, when they get to high school, leave church because the enemy's yelling in through the gates, and it confuses them and it destroys their faith. Father, I pray that you would use this message this morning. Please put on the hearts of parents to make a decision, a conscious decision to raise their children to serve you. Lord, we have a great potential of reaching the world with the gospel in the next generation. Lord, I pray that our parents would make a decision not to raise our kids selfishly, not to raise our kids for ourselves, but to raise our kids to serve you, to raise our kids to live for you, to teach them the truth, to help to educate them so that they're not ashamed, so that they can speak with the enemies in the gates.